Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Business of Music podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about owning and growing a music business. My name is Elliot Towsley, and my business partner James Landry and I are your hosts. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on our next podcast. And to learn even more, subscribe to our YouTube channel and sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Business of Music podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Business of Music podcast. My name is Elliot. I'm here with James. What's up, man?
Another day, Tuesday. Not too much going on right now. Quiet week.
It has been a quiet week, and it's given us a lot of time to kind of dive into what else we want to do and who else we could have on the show. And actually, today we are starting the show right away with a guest. Let me introduce Amy Ione. No, Ione, there it is. I knew this was this is going to throw me off. There's too many vowels going on. Amy Ione.
Yeah. So
my apologies. Amy, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And no worries. This gets botched all the time, so I'm used to it. It's my fault in the first place because I had a little name change back in college that really now makes it so difficult for people to say it out loud. So saying it phonetically like you did before we started is the way to be successful.
I always leave it to Elliot to do all the names. Listen to him botch them depending on the accent. It's great.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. That's kind of where I come in, just to mess things up and make James look good. But we're really excited to have you on the show here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. The last episode we had, we got into a lot on like mixing and mastering the music itself, but you have some great takes on what it is in what artists can do to create an image and like a brand that is outside of the music itself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So what would you say that you're like a branding coach? Is that like the title that you have when you're working with artists?
I do use it now, but I feel like it fluctuates. I feel like I've changed my name a lot since I've started, right? Like I started my company a year ago, Cherries on Top, and it originally was going to be a marketing agency, but I noticed that I pulled towards aesthetics. I pulled towards the creation of a look of an artist, how they came across on the social media platforms that they were using. And I felt like that was more my jam. So that, you know, fast forward through quarantine, I started doubling down on branding and showing up on social media and Instagram in particular. That's like my favorite. That's my favorite platform. But so I feel like there has also not been a lot of education on this particular topic. You know, a lot of artists focus on marketing their music and doing all the creative that comes along with making music, but how to show up and how to look good and how to figure out how to be respected in the industry as an independent artist, I think is not taught often. So I focus on that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right that those areas seem to be forgotten, or that artists seem to think that the music itself does all the talking.
Right.
And I think maybe there are artists who can get away with that if you're super established and it's very well known that you have an audience and you are who you are. Like,
right.
Like, sure, the music and you just being you is enough, but obviously not everyone is to that point. So what are some of the things that you see independent artists like making a clear mistake with?
Sure. Oh my gosh, it's such a great question. And there's so many directions that we can go into on this. But when we're talking about social media and Instagram in particular, I feel like artists are unclear about what to post. And it's funny, I actually just made a post today on that, because later on today I'll do a Instagram live. But it's not knowing what kind of content to post to keep things interesting and to add value and build a community on their social platform and on Instagram. So I feel like they're running out of ideas, especially around the time that they have to release new music. And I find that it's really helpful to kind of educate them on this particular topic of what tools are available to them, what it really looks like to add value consistently. As I feel like artists show up a lot of times right before they have something to offer, but not knowing what that consistency really does for them is really what I'm finding artists really having an issue with. Also, posting the same content over. It's a big, right. I think, issue when you look at a feed, when you go onto their profile and you see the same exact cover art. So that's really what I'd like to always keep communicating with artists, that it's possible to think outside the box. It's possible to have ideas and be creative here in this content making.
I always find myself telling artists that they need to come up with a brand, figure out who they want to be known as, because ultimately a listener is great, but a fan, becoming a fan of someone, usually you become a fan of them or their music for a reason. A brand helps that. But what artists don't think about, they always ask, oh, what's my brand? I don't know. That's not my job. They're the creatives. They should be able to come up with something. But what I found recently, and what I see a lot of recently during COVID, is A&Rs are talking about artists' brands being hurt by who they hire as a manager. And I think that's something, I don't know if you have anything to talk about, but artists, I don't think, are thinking about their brand outside of, oh, look at me posing in front of a car. They're hiring their best friend as a manager. And when that happens and that manager's not professional or doesn't know how to hold themselves out, it can really hurt the artist's brand. Have you ever seen any, have you dealt with managers like that, for example?
To be honest, I work with artists that don't have management. And I have been approached by artists with management, and it just doesn't, there's not a flow of energy there that I like to work with. So, but I do see it. I do see a lot of wrong direction all the time. It's heartbreaking.
It's weird because if you think about it, artists think managers help them with everything and they're going to take care of everything for me and stuff like that. But someone like you, you just said it, you want to work with the artist because you're helping the artist. You're not going to help the manager build the artist brand. And now you're playing telephone. It's the same as a publicist. They don't want to go through the manager to get to the artist to answer a simple question. But I think that's a big thing about someone's brand that people don't think about. They think about Facebook, Instagram, and what their music sounds like and being continuous with it all and kind of flowing. But they don't think about who are you putting yourself around? Who are you communicating through? Who's talking for you? Because it's almost, having a manager is like having an attorney. You're signing off on everything they say and letting them be your agent. And then now you're on the hook if they say something that was stupid or react stupid to, I don't know, Universal reaches out to them and they tell them F off. That hurts you. There's a lot better ways to go about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, James. I think you guys are on the right track with really guiding artists in this direction. I think that if you're more knowledgeable on so many of these topics, if you take the time to learn what you need to learn in this industry, you'll be better off. You'll be able to handle the questions that come, and you'll be in the meetings with the managers. You'll be able to know how to look at this as a business. I think a lot of artists also don't do that. they're again focused on a lot of creativity, but not necessarily viewing their artistry, their work as like a real business. So I think the best thing they can do is just try to reach out to professionals like you guys and myself to get the education that they need so that they can make smart decisions going forward.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of what happens in music is, even if someone isn't purposefully leading you down the wrong way, it's just so hard to know what is the right way, what is the right thing to do. So even if someone is, it's almost like with managers or this example of particular managers, it's almost like a less is more. Like, absolutely. You know what, it's, if you're a company and you have a sales rep who is not good at selling your product, like that person that they're, the sales rep is trying to deal with, it will likely not be a customer of that business. And on some level, that is kind of what you are as a musician. Like, you are a brand and a business that is selling a product. And whether that product is a physical CD or a concert or your appearance or you in a Sprite commercial or whatever, like, the business, it has many different products and many different ways to sell things. And it's not just, oh, look at my song on Spotify.
Right.
And so many people, I mean, if we think of the people who have had a ton of longevity in music or hip hop in particular, I would say, like, you have some people that have been around for so long. Like, I'll give you two examples. Eminem, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg kind of is a brand, is a personality. He's been around and staying relevant. Yeah, he puts out music here and there, but like his brand is like him. Yeah. Everybody could draw a picture of Snoop Dogg. Everyone knows who Snoop Dogg is, right?
He is the brand. Agreed.
But like the extreme other side of that is Eminem, where like he doesn't his brand is his talent and he kind of doesn't do things. And he just like, so you either have to be so amazing at your talent that that's it. That's my brand. Listen to my album and maybe I'll do like one interview a year on XM radio or something.
Yeah.
And if you don't have that top tier 1% talent, then you better have like a personality or jokes or something else that when you do an interview with somebody, you're entertaining. Because I'm not going to interview you and listen to your music. So what else is there? What else can we showcase as part of your brand?
Right. So I think that's such a great example using Eminem. He's a prodigy, right? He's like the Mozart of our time, maybe. And I think at the time, being such a genius, that he was able to leverage that talent. And also in the early 2000s, he was starting in a time where we weren't really using social media the way we do now. And it's imperative, right, I think, for artists to not look at it like they did back when. It's a different time. Right now, we have to leverage all of our social platforms and leverage all of the visibility we get in video. That is really what shows who you are, because that is what fans want to see. They want to know who you are. They want to see if you're authentic, if there's something more to the music that they can like and enjoy and keep consuming. And that's what I tell artists, right? We want to give them a reason to keep coming back to the pages, to keep coming back to listening to your single or knowing what's up to date with your music. So I think it's really something that goes hand in hand, the brand personality and your music, and you must develop it. I think at the earlier, the better, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And
so actually something that we run into often is, say an artist is like 24, we'll hear this every once in a while. They're like, oh yeah, well I was, you know, when I was 19, I was doing this. And like, my name is so like, and we get the question of like, well, should I rebrand? Like, what's your take on if and when someone should rebrand?
Ooh, juicy. Well, if you have been known in the market under a certain name, you should rebrand if you're planning to change your name. If you have also been showing up with completely different sounds and music that doesn't necessarily fit who you are today, let's rebrand. Let's look at some new fonts. Let's look at some new clothing. Let's look at a whole aesthetic that really fits who you are in today's landscape. And I feel like rebrand seems like it's a big deal, but really it's part of our, but we naturally, as humans, naturally are evolving. So I think it's only natural that you can see that coming down along the lines of an artist's career. So I think those are the major times that you should be thinking about rebranding. Yeah.
Here's a question.
Go ahead.
How would you describe Jack Harlow's brand?
You know what? You got me. You stumped me because I haven't studied Jack Harlow as much. I do like his music. I just honestly just the single. I don't listen to a whole lot of hip hop. I'm gonna be honest with y'all.
I was just wondering because really I can't put my finger on why he came out of such a flooded market. He came out with Tyler Hero just the other day, another hit. The people I've talked to say he has another one. He's ready. He's just sitting on it waiting because he knows he can probably wait 6 to 8 weeks before he puts it out and just let it chart again. I don't understand personally what makes him different than most of the other people coming out of the market. I like his music, but I like a lot of people's music, but I don't know what made him be the one that charts. Even compared to someone like Logic. Mm-hmm. Jack Harlow seems to just have something that someone like Logic or Sammy Adams didn't have.
I don't know either.
Well, you piqued my interest, James. I'm going to go and do a little studying on him because it, there's some sort of reason. The songs are hot, right? It's good stuff. You're trying to see what's after that. Like
I don't even know what makes him different.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it. Other maybe a marketing budget, but
my brain is going to right now is like there must be things behind the scenes that he's done a lot of work to get these connections to out of everyone that's available. They're like, oh yeah, well we like him. We'll put him on this time slot or whatever, because it's not like he had absolutely nothing and then all of a sudden was huge. Like he was doing something, I assume. And like most people, unless you have a foot in the door with someone with a lot of resources or you just have a ton of cash, like you can't just like release a song and chart, you know, like as nobody.
Right.
So like there's got to be something. And I would really like to like open the hood and see what's going on behind the scenes and see if this is all a result of him building out his business and his network to have this huge infrastructure. And now it's just kind of hitting the mainstream, but it's been built for a while.
Sure. Sure. I agree with you, Elliot. There's probably something that he's been doing consistently that has really been working for him. So that's worth a study. Thank you for stumping me, James.
Stump myself first. So I figured.
Yeah. And that's a good question. I think. Yeah. So who are like, do you have examples of artists or groups or whatever that you use as good examples to show artists, oh, look how they've branded themselves. Look where they were 2 years ago to where they are now. Do you have some that kind of jump right out that you're like, oh, these people, follow these guys in terms of like a strategy?
The first two that come to mind are Lizzo and Cardi B. There has been consistency with both of those artists and they've been relentless. They've been hardworking. They have shown up as authentically as possible all around. And I think that's what really gets fans going is that cool, authentic, I'm not afraid to be who I am type of vibe. Yeah. So I use Lizzo a lot in the examples because she has discussed her body positivity concepts and she has been very outspoken and consistent with that energy. And same with Cardi B. I mean, there's not a time we're not cracking up at some crazy thing that she said because that's her all the time in front of a camera. Yeah. So yeah, those two are my favorite. But there's probably a bunch more that we could talk about. Who are your favorites?
I think Wiz Khalifa's done a hell of a job of brand, just becoming a character.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't tell you the name of the last song he put out, but I can still consider myself a big Wiz Khalifa fan.
Sure.
And I mean, that's a good question. And I try to think of it outside of the music because it so much goes hand in hand that it's hard to differentiate the two.
A big thing to think about is people who hold themselves out a certain way have to actually act that way. And like
be that way.
we've talked about it before. It's almost like if Busta Rhymes or DaBaby weren't acting like how they sing, if they just came out and they're just like friendly guys, like, hey, how's it going? Yeah. Like,
hello, hello, sir.
Hi, yeah, come on in, have a cup of tea. They don't right. like, you're like, huh? They wouldn't be who they are. Right.
Yeah, good point. Good point.
Like, if DMX like worked at a salad restaurant, he'd be like,
if Kanye what? West wasn't running for president.
Hey, well. That's actually right on brand for him, I think.
That's what I mean. If he wasn't, he wouldn't
yeah,
be
right,
weird.
Yeah, right. So now, once you're working with an artist, Amy, and you're starting to crack the code on what their brand can start to look like. Now that once they start to have that brand, what are some tips you like to give for promoting that new brand that they've, or maybe not a new, but they shined it up. They've got a nice shiny new brand. What are some tips that you like to say to, hey, okay, now that you have this, here's how you promote it?
Very good question. So, well, the first thing is to start out with a strategy, right? What kind of content are you going to be putting out to showcase this side of you or that side of you? And there's a whole little process that I take the artists with, through that journey. So coming up with a content strategy. And then secondly, knowing what posting schedule they can really take on, because I know as a creative, it's very difficult to post consistently. I've been on that side as an artist, and I feel like if there's some sort of commitment artists can make at the very beginning of posting content and sticking with it, I think they'll be successful. Of course, I think really helping, really helps is creating engagement with their community consistently. So one of my pet peeves, I'll tell you guys, is seeing when a follower responds very positively to a piece of content they've seen and there's just the like. There's no response back saying, thank you so much for that. That really brightened up my day. It goes a long way. That goes a long way when we're trying to create trust and loyalty. So I think those are my three most important steps when we talk about showing up consistently and now using their brand identity to create the content. In the work that I do also, we do a lot of deciding what colors to use and also the brand words. That's also very important at the very beginning of the process. When you show up, you want to make sure that you're checking off each one of these brand words, that this is who you are and this is the authentic version of you that will show up in each piece of content. Knowing how you want your audience to feel is also very important as well. Keeping that consistent. Yeah.
Right. So, right. Yeah. 'Cause it's all about the audience.
It is.
Especially if you can make content that the audience of your audience likes. 'Cause then when I see something cool, I'm going to say, hey, James, check this out. Hey, Amy, look at this. Now yeah. I'm sharing this content just because I know my audience either finds it interesting or whatever.
Right. That's a big one. You just mentioned the shareability, right? Oh, You're sharing something because it wasn't just specific. I mean, there's a lot of it that's specific to the artist, but there's something about it that was so irresistible that you had to let somebody else know. So that comes in different forms, right? It could be a beam. It could be, I don't know, so many other things. We could talk about that off the podcast. Right.
Yeah.
Just DM me. We'll talk about your content strategy. Yeah,
we always like to tell artists, like, they think consistency in releasing music is enough, where you're saying the same type of thing. You have to be consistent in all aspects. I use the example, if you're running a pizza place, you don't release a new type of pizza every week if no one's coming to your store. You have to continuously run ads and work on your brand to get people to give you a chance. And maybe once you start getting those people to give you a chance, you can release something new every week to get them back, get them interested, keep them coming. But until you actually have people coming to your store, there's no need to offer more goods. And that's what music is to these artists. And if you are not releasing on Instagram, promoting yourself on Instagram, Facebook, talking to your fans, DMing anyone who follows you and thanking them, small things you can do when you are small, you won't get that chance to grow. And you won't get those hardcore fans. Elliot likes to say, like, someone like Currency can release a song and he has fans. It's not going to chart. It's not going to go top 10 like Jack Harlow of DaBaby, but he will make money. He will make a profit and he can live comfortably with his music.
Yeah, so true. So true.
Currency has a great brand. I was going to say, so yeah, one thing that's really important is like you're never, as an artist, you're never too big to say thanks. And a lot of people who like are at the beginning of their music business and like even if they're talented, like I'm not going to say thanks to the people who support me on Instagram. It's like, you know, it's this weird ego thing where I'm like, actually, you know, like this is a good look and it entices more people to engage with your content because they'll think he'll say thanks to me too. Like, I don't get it.
Tell the story about you when you were an artist.
Which one?
And then your local fans started to support you or your friends.
Oh yeah. So I grew up in a small town in the middle of nowhere and in New Hampshire. So, and when I was like 18, my friend and I made music and like no one in town gave a shit. And it was like decent music. And then we went to college and no one knew Elliot. They just would hear the music and judge it as an artist instead of like, oh, Elliot's making music now. They just heard this album and they were like, hey, this is pretty good. So like we started getting a couple hundred thousand hits on YouTube or something. So it wasn't like crazy, but like coming from a small town in New Hampshire to from having like zero streams and like 3 months later having like 500,000, like we thought we were like, it was cool. And what we noticed, yeah, it was our, and this was a long time ago. What we noticed was when we left our, like our small town, or if you're in your neighborhood, and if you can get a buzz somewhere else, and now a bunch of people are kind of talking about you or sharing their song or like whatever, now all those people who have been looking and kind of not doing anything, not supporting or not giving a shit at all of a sudden are really interested because other people have like created this validation of, oh, wait a minute, that many people checked out James's new song. Oh, maybe I guess I'll check it out. Click. And that is all visible. So even if it's, you get three comments from random people on your post that say, hey, this was really cool. Thank them. Because then other, maybe that it turns into five comments and 12 and 30. And if all of a sudden those people who are kind of paying attention, but not really, are seeing that a lot of people are engaging with you, all of a sudden now it's really cool to know James because I've known him for so long. Wow, I've been supporting you since day one. Right. And it's like, they're full of shit. But like now it's cool to be supporting James when they could have the whole time.
Absolutely. I feel like, you know, you want to treat people like as if they're coming into your house when they come to your page. So how would you treat them? Would you treat them nicely? Would you serve them? And I think the answers to that are generally yes. And so I always try to tell artists right away. And so not just thank them and say something really kind for stopping by and saying something nice about your music or your content, but responding quickly. I think that's really key as well. Making sure you're not spending 4 or 5 months and then remembering later. But if that does happen, because sometimes we can miss a comment. I mean, it happens to me often too. So if that does happen and you notice, right, oh my gosh, just saw this. Thank you so much for saying that. I appreciate you so much. And then DM them or something, you know, maybe go the extra mile to really create that connection with that particular follower.
I would use the same example and I would just change it from house to store. Cause I don't want anyone coming to my house. Leave me alone. But if I have a store and I'm purposefully trying to sell shit, when they come in the door, what am I going to be? An ass?
Right. Oh,
thank you so much for coming. You came and checked out my stuff and you're considering buying something. How can I help? Don't come to my house, but thanks for coming to my store. I have this store to sell stuff. Right. Don't be mad that customers are here. you know?
Yeah. That human connection is lost a lot in social media. And I think it's time to bring that back. And we have that. We're interesting. Artists are interesting people. And in general, we are most of the time the opposite of what we show on Insta. So I think it's really important to keep that consistency offline and online, right?
Right. Well, yeah. And if you being your true self and being authentic is the easiest way to stay consistent because you won't be caught off guard if, you know.
Right.
I want to get your take on this because we had a great conversation on the last episode where we were talking about my opinion was that Meek Mill's brand was hurt with this whole thing with Drake. Not like he
enlighten me. I don't.
Okay. No. So this was like 3 or 4 years ago, they had a big beef and okay. Meek Mill, is like this kind of hard rapper, kind of like, don't fuck with me. I'll mess you up if you come at me. And then Drake, everybody knows
Philadelphia. Drake. Philadelphia yeah. rapper. Yes, yeah. Meek Mill.
Right.
With like Rick Ross and like, you know, that kind of angle. So his brand was like, oh, you shouldn't mess with Meek Mill because he'll mess you up physically and on a track. And then like Drake, they had some beef and then Drake put out 2 diss records and like the overall feel of the industry was that Drake swept the floor with that like beef. So my take was his brand never fully recovered because you have a lot of casual listeners who went from thinking Meek Mill is hard, I'm, you know, don't mess with him, to Drake beat you in a rap beef. And like, when's the last big hit Meek Mill put out? I couldn't tell you.
What was that before or after the doc came out?
Oh, this was like 3 years before. So yeah, so okay. Then he kind of came back and he's doing great things. Don't get me wrong, but I'm talking the pure brand of his artist image, like is totally different now, I think. And that's why he's focused on this is how we change prisons instead of like, yeah, don't fuck with me. like, you know, I think like he's adapted and he's created a new brand, but he had to.
He had to pivot. And sometimes life circumstances make us do that. Hello, we all didn't expect 2020 to go the way it did. And we had to make changes. And I think that's natural. That's just part of life. Yeah. How's he doing now? Is he kind of thriving?
Oh yeah. I mean, he's not like, he didn't like disappear and he's doing well, but like yeah. just before where he was like at the top of, you know, in the conversation of the hottest rapper around at the time to being like, oh yeah, he's all right. Oh, isn't he on Netflix like, now? right.
Like the most recent is what Machine Gun Kelly now does pop music after losing to Eminem.
Did he lose to Eminem in a battle?
Well, yeah, they had some beef and actually, you know what? I actually really liked Machine Gun Kelly's new album way more than I thought I was going to. And he actually does like a really great job of kind of going, I'm going to do this now. and like he worked with Travis Barker and like he pretty much made a Blink 182 album. And it's like surprisingly much better than I thought it was going to be. And I might even say it's good.
That's awesome. He's taking risks.
Right. He rebranded for sure.
You got to test out the market, right? You got to see what people like. Sometimes you'll be surprised.
Well, he got a lot of confidence after he started dating Megan Fox, so I can't blame him. he might come out with a banjo next month. Woo! And start with that. Who knows? but Amy, so I'll give the floor to you. Where can our audience find you? And yeah, where can they connect with you?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for asking. So I am most active on Instagram and you can find me cherriesontop.co. And also if you if you wanted to check out the new information I do have. I have an ebook that's all about showing up online that's available on Gumroad, but you can always access that through Instagram on the link in the bio. But yeah, I had such a nervous worry that this was going to be like super marketing oriented, but we like just chilled and we talked about branding and all the stuff, all the fun stuff. So thank you guys for having me. Really, it's been my honor.
Thank you. We try not to intimidate people. Elliot's very, very intimidating.
That's right.
You guys, it's the beard, best. I think.
I'm getting a haircut tomorrow. I look like a caveman right now. It's all right.
The cave voice.
Oh, geez. Amy, thank you so much for joining us. If you're listening right now, go to her Instagram, get the link for that ebook, download it, learn how you can build a brand for your music business. And thank you so much for your time and for joining the Business and Music Podcast here. We'll talk again soon.
We'll talk again soon, you guys. Thank you again. Have a wonderful day.
Perfect. Thank you, you too.
Here.
All right. Well, here, let's build in a break. That was Amy. Find her on Instagram at cherriesontop.co. Download her ebook and we'll be right back.
The Business of Music Podcast, presented by DeNovo Agency. DeNovoAgency.com.
If you are an independent recording artist, we know that you're fed up with unnecessary fees and giving away your royalties to a music distributor. Songflower introduces lifetime distribution, the most artist-friendly way to release music. It's just $10 for a single, $20 for an EP, and $30 for an album to have Songflower distribute your music for life to all of the streaming platforms that you need to be on. Songflower never charges you any upgrades or hidden fees, and they will never take one penny of your royalties. Check out songflower.com to see why lifetime distribution is the right move for you and your music business.
The Business of Music Podcast.
All right, welcome back. This is the Business of Music Podcast. We just had Amy Ione, I almost botched her name again. So my apologies, Amy, for when you go back and listen to this. Ione, she had some great points on rebranding and how to brand, how to make a brand in the first place. And I wanted to kind of touch back on rebranding as an artist. When I was making music, I changed our group name and my name a couple times. And I think what it comes down to is if you're thinking about rebranding, then I would say you got to go where your heart, it sounds cheesy, but like you got to go where your heart is, because if you're making music and you're 85% in on like the sound and the name you have, you're not going to be making the best music you can. If you're kind of already thinking about changing, it's just a matter of time. Rip the Band-Aid off and do it. It's like, if you have a girlfriend that you've been with for a while and you're I'm thinking about leaving this whole thing I got here. You can force it, you can fake it, but your heart's already thinking about leaving what you got and changing it up. So if you don't have a huge established business and following under a particular name, then what? Who cares?
And I think you have to go all in. If you're going to do it, you have to do it. Don't do this. Like we talked about MGK. Imagine if he would have come out with this like half and half thing. No one would have been like, oh, his album's good. Everyone would have been like, what is he doing? Is he trying to change? Is he about to change? But by just going all in, it's getting rid of that. What's going on? Like, I don't know if they're either going to like it or they're not. Don't give them the... Who did that?
Lil
like
Wayne.
Half and half. Lil, yeah.
Reverb. There you go. And it was awful. Yeah. Prom Queen, it was like catchy for 2 weeks and then you're like, eh.
Yeah.
So the difference I see what you're saying for sure. And I think you can change up the albums you make, and like people do that all the time. Like I'm saying, like, if you're thinking, hey, I call myself this and I don't like it anymore. You know, I made it up when I was 19. I'm 25 now. I don't know. Change. Completely, you start over. And then like, it's almost like, okay, well, with this artist and this chapter of my music business life, I learned what not to do. So now when I'm starting my fresh chapter of this music business, everything you've learned doesn't go out the window. The true fans you have will find you, and you, if you, they're following you on Instagram, whenever you be like, check me out here. Like, they'll find you. If you don't have an immense following, it doesn't matter. And then once you have a following, somebody like MGK who has a following, he has hardcore fans that would give that new album a chance. Like, no matter what, you could do a gospel album and he would have fans that would check it out. If Eminem was an R&B singer, I would fucking check out his record. Might not like it, but I'd check it out. So if you don't, like, there's really no reason not to. If you really are passionate about it and thinking about changing, do it. Rip the Band-Aid off and go all in, like James was saying.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, we hear all the time people leaving bands and becoming their own. And that seems easy. That's like much easier than someone becoming known as someone else. But if you're going to do it, I also, we've seen artists talk to us who like release their new sound, but don't change the name because they want to see how it's going to react.
Yeah.
I don't like that either, because it's a new sound with a new name. You're going to do it, do it. Because if it reacts well, now you're still stuck with the old name, which you want to get away from anyway.
Yeah.
But now yeah.
Even Mac Miller and J. Cole have like alter egos that like people know it's Mac Miller. He was producing or like doing Larry way different Lipstein. Music. Yeah, right. Yeah. The reason he had this alter ego, this other artist, is so that people wouldn't view it as a Mac Miller song. It's purposefully very different. He did it on purpose. J. Cole has that. I don't know. He hasn't done a ton with it, but he's like, what's his name?
Yeah.
He like features on his own song.
Feature on his last album.
Yeah, it was him.
J. Cole.
But like, so you could, I mean, you could perhaps do that. I mean, if you are a rapper and you sing in a band, like you can have two things.
We work with some people who do that. Drew West, WST, one of our first clients. He has an alter ego right now. He's releasing music on both. I couldn't tell you his alter ego, but he's literally doing it on both. Mac Miller did it. Larry Lovestein was jazz music. Because he knew if he released jazz music under Mac Miller, most people would be like, what?
You'd be like, huh? Yeah.
What's it? And it wouldn't help. It would probably hurt more than anything because the casual listener wouldn't be
exactly
open to it. Not ready or comfortable with it, but they wouldn't be open to hearing a different type of music. Music's all about comfort. People knowing what to expect, not being surprised. So if the music is going to be drastically different, it's probably smart. You don't, like Elliot said, you don't have to get rid of Mac Miller to just do Larry Love, but you want to make sure that people are listening to Mac Miller expect Mac Miller, and people listening to Larry Lovestein expect Larry Lovestein. And that's kind of the only way I could say you do both if you're going to make different music for both.
I'm looking up Max. Is it Larry?
Yes, it is.
Larry Fisherman.
No, that's his name. He uses that name for social media. He has an album.
He has an album called Larry.
Larry Lovestein, The Velvet Revival is an album by Mac Miller. If you didn't know that, has 144,000 monthly listeners, millions of plays. But yeah, if you didn't know that, that's.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Larry Lovestein in The Velvet Revival.
Yeah. That's Mac Miller's album. Now all of our listeners go check it out. It's jazz music. Don't be surprised. It's good. It's amazing. Yeah. Because if you think about the connections he had and what he could use to make it, it does help. But
Right. I think Amy gave us some good tips. Or gave artists some good tips. Obviously, you know, branding a business is obviously you have a music business, but let's say branding a pizza shop is a little bit different than branding a musician, because a pizza shop doesn't have a personality. I can't go talk to a pizza shop. I can't interview a pizza shop. So it's different. It would be like, man, you know, it's tricky. It's kind of on its own. Because even an actor.
Yeah, I'd say it's like an actor or an actress who is a personality outside of their role. They're trying to sell themselves. Jimmy Fallon, maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Personality for his TV show.
The similarities between a musician and an actor is often you view authenticity differently. They're both giving a performance, but an actor, you know, if they're playing a macho bravado character, that's okay. So there's the thing. Are you playing a character or are you you? If Wiz Khalifa was a character on Thursday and through Saturday, and then the rest of the week he was totally different, it wouldn't work. If, you know, because then like you couldn't sustain it.
Let think about, I just lost his name. The guy who got arrested in Atlanta, and they were like, yeah, you're an illegal immigrant. You're not from Atlanta. He just came out with a bunch of music. He's charting everywhere. Savage 21.
Oh. Is that it? Yeah. Is he from London or something? Britain?
Yeah, wasn't he? Who was the one who was arrested in Atlanta for pretending?
Might be a long list of rappers arrested in Atlanta. So,
21 Savage, yeah, Atlanta rapper, really from UK, says US immigration. So, someone like that, when that happened, I remember that happening last year, February 4th, 2019. I remember that happening and me going, his image is done. He was pretending he was an Atlanta rapper forever. He came up, and then US immigration came out and arrested him. And they're like, no, you're from London. You're not. Like, you can live in Atlanta.
Yeah,
but now your brand of being an Atlanta rapper is not there anymore. And that's his character was exposed, really.
Mm.
That's where I was going with that. But go ahead.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I think that's kind of the thing is some rappers are playing a character or a heightened character that's loosely based on themselves, which is like, you know, you got to create a narrative and you got to be somebody. Like, I doubt Wiz Khalifa is smoking weed every second of every day. Hmm. Close, maybe, but not, you know? So like, but if that was a character that if Wiz had to play, he couldn't do that for 15 years, you know?
Not with his kids and his family. Right, he's doing commercials for Oreos now.
Right. But like, he is who he is. People like him for him. Like, they now view Wiz Khalifa as a character, but not one that some guy is playing. Snoop Dogg is a character, but he's not playing one. He just is. So that's kind of, are you playing? Like, yeah. Is water
on brand is what are you doing? How on brand is what you're doing to you? Well, we tell artists too, how do you want to be known? If you want to be known as this tough guy and you're not really, good luck. It's going to take a lot of time and effort. And every time you're in the media's eye, you have to be on character. You have to be an actor suddenly.
Right. And a brand is not a color scheme and a logo. No. It's not a brand.
No, it's a logo. So I was reading about DaBaby this morning. Here's a good way to end this. DaBaby's most on-brand thing I think I've read in a while. He bought a house in like a 2,000-person town 30 miles north of Charlotte. Can't forget the name. And this town's like very Trump town. Like, there's 2,000 people in North Carolina, right?
Very Trump town. It's terrific. Terrific, tremendous town, really. I might rename it Trump, North Carolina. Why not? It's tremendous. Get the baby out of here. I'm the daddy, okay?
So he bought this land and he built this $2.2 million mansion on this land. The land was probably like $200. Like, it's not that great, the land. And the neighbors don't like it, obviously. He gets complaints all the time. Neighbors always complaining because there's construction going on all the time. He's building this thing. But what's on brand about this? Not just the big fancy house. He has two guard towers. He's building two more. And he has large cement walls, they said. and they're just continuously building them. So he's got like layers of walls now that he's just building. And the neighbors complain, like, this is a nice quiet town. And his guards, he has guards, have fully automatic weapons, they claim. And they just sit in front of the place waiting. And it's just always escalades going in and out of the compound. They say it's literally a compound. And he's just building it in the middle of nowhere in North Carolina. And damn. To me, I went, yes, that's exactly what I expect the baby to do.
Wow.
Like, he could go and live in LA like most other artists and stuff like that. But no, like him, J. Cole, same type people, they won't leave. Instead, they're just going to make their... J. Cole doesn't live like that. There's no way. But the baby... I was not surprised at all.
Build a compound. Build a little prison. Can't get in, you can't get out.
He's got like stadium lights shining at all times of the day in the backyard. So it's like lit up. And I could only imagine being the neighbor in this 2,000 person town.
Right.
That's smaller than the college town we went to in New Hampshire.
Yeah. Right. Building like a plaza.
Yeah. Cement walls, lights, yeah, guard towers with guns. Just because that's... But he is who he says he is, really. If he was acting, you know, there'd be a lot of work to do. If he had to... Why buy the guards ammo and guns and the stuff to protect you if you're not really who you say you are, how you're acting? He's been arrested a few times. He's been pulled over and gets arrested all the time, I feel like, in Charlotte, which is his hometown. But that is his brand, and he's worked to build that, or not even build it, I guess. He just stayed on it.
Right.
Is the best way to put it. He just continuously was who he said he was. Yeah. And other people have to build a brand. I'm sure Wiz Khalifa's brand.
Yeah, he didn't think of that in one day.
In 2006, it also wasn't as strong as it is now.
Right.
But he was still who he was.
Well, and success worked. Like,
yeah,
it's like, imagine if you saw a guy that looked like Post Malone working at Foot Locker, you'd be like, who the fuck is this guy? You see a guy that looks like Post Malone winning Grammys and making millions, then you don't really care. Or you'd look at it differently. So success is the key ingredient here, because if whatever you're doing is working, then who is anyone else to say anything about your brand? But if you're looking like an idiot and you're not your business isn't working, well, now people look at it differently, mm-hmm. You know? And yep. And I think you made a great point about how, like, the manager, like, your music business has, if it has employees, they represent your business. And if your manager comes across, if they don't know what they're doing or that they're an idiot or an ass or whatever, then that person isn't going to want to do business with your company, aka you. So
I mean, we see it. We have managers who, the artist can be great, but if your manager doesn't know what they're doing or is pretty much using you and just taking information that they find on the internet and passing off as their own, or attacking other people thinking it's defending you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's in question. And I think the thing is like, most artists are not in position to need a manager, like, period. They want an assistant. They don't want a manager. Oh, I don't want to send these emails. I don't want to call the venue. Can somebody do it for me? You need an assistant. That's not a manager. That's an employee. I'm going to pay somebody to make these phone calls for me, not give them 20% of my business. Mm-hmm. And most of these, I get it, right? I get the aspect of, well, this person knows me, you know, like, I get it. And trust is very important. But also, like, if I am running my business and I need a new website, do I just, if I, my friend who can maybe do this, like, do I want to just, like, let him give it a go and try and maybe see? Or do I just want to, like, hire a professional who I've seen make websites before? Like, a lot of independent artists are managed by someone who has never managed somebody before. And they're both actively learning on the fly. So I just don't get it. And I don't get the oh, I don't want to make, I just got to focus on my music. I'm not making that call. Like, you're a lazy bum. That's not going to go anywhere. Like, you don't have a career that needs to be managed yet.
And if you're in that position, no one wants to sign you. Because if you have to be pushed to make a record,
right,
or to a make label has to babysit you to do something, they're not going to sign you until you're actually someone.
Like, because, huge, right. Because then you have the leverage to be, exactly.
It doesn't benefit them in any way to pay someone to just have to babysit them. And that's right. How they're going to view you. You're not really a business just because you have a manager. A manager doesn't make you a business. A manager makes you, most of the time, it tells me and tells Elliot, it tells other people, A&Rs, anyone, that you don't have control of your own self and you don't have motivation to do the small stuff that needs to be done to be successful.
Yep. Yeah. Often it makes me, I mean, it's more often than not, I find managers who aren't helping at all and if are just getting in the way. And like, mostly like if an artist, yeah, right. I'm not like deterred to the point where I don't want to work with an artist who has a manager, but like, I'm not going to go and I'm not going to argue with this guy.
I've never been impressed. How's that? I've never been someone, some manager talks to us and we go, wow.
Right. That, well, if for us in particular, like if you have a manager, what do you need us for?
And that, I feel like part of it is, that's why what I was kind of hinting at is a lot of people we talk to are managers who may pay for their clients and then talk to us and then go tell the clients what we said. And then the client's like, oh, you're helping me. But in all reality, they're taking 20% for something we've done for no charge over and over again. And kind of this industry has been built on that, those people doing that, those type of people. If a manager is funding you, that's different. If a manager is doing something right. You can't do, that's different. If they're just there and taking your phone calls for you because you don't want to, you're not going to make it.
Or this guy isn't going to have anything to do with it.
Yeah, because really, when you first hire a manager, you should probably have them BCC you on every email they send to make sure that they're on brand. Make sure that they're doing what you expect you would do, what you'd hold yourself out on. And if you don't care about what that is, then you're not going to make it because you don't care. You don't have a brand. You don't have any drive. If you just think you can make music and make it in the industry, that's the furthest thing from the truth.
It's too hard unless you have the top 1% talent. And I'm talking Kendrick Lamar talent. If you are not as skilled as Kendrick Lamar, then you need to work on your business and your brand. You can't just make a song, give it to some guy to post on the internet once, and then think that everyone is going to help you out because it's there. Go do something about it.
I'll stop at this one. If you hire a manager to go make the connections for you, you're going to end up relying on that manager forever because now they have the connections. You never made them yourself. And if you have to fire that person because they're doing anything, you're screwed. So don't hire a manager letting them do everything. Be involved with everything that manager is still doing. And maybe I'd say it's okay at that point. And then again, you have an assistant because you're involved in everything and your manager should be an assistant in a way.
I would say,
go ahead.
Sorry. An artist, you should do all of this groundwork and make all of the connections, do everything on your own to the point where you're like, you know what? I have too much going on. I can't organize all this. Wow. Wouldn't it be nice to have someone help manage everything that I've built and got going on? Their job is to not build it for you. Their job is to take what you've built and grow it. Come on, guys. This is day one stuffy. All right. All right. Yeah.
It was good talking to you.
Yeah. Good talking to you. Catch us on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in. We're out of here.
The Business of Music Podcast, presented by DeNovo Agency. DeNovoAgency.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Business of Music podcast. We love to hear feedback. Shoot us an email to contact@denovoagency.com so we can answer your questions on the next episode. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel to learn even more and check out denovoagency.com to see how we can help you grow your music business. Until next time, this has been the Business of Music podcast.